Biblical vision is the lens that helps us interpret the events of our life. Today on Daily in the Word, Dr. Paul Chappell challenges us to develop 20/20 vision through the lens of God's Word.
When someone accepts Jesus as their Savior, the Spirit of God comes to dwell within them, and He will guide you away from error and away from destruction, and He will guide you into truth. The Spirit of God will guide you into the vision of God if you will listen and be yielded to Him and to the Word of God each and every day.
Vision is the lens that interprets the way we view people and our concept of God. In John chapter 8, Jesus reminds us as believers that we can know the truth and that the truth can set us free. If you want to know more about biblical truth, then this series is for you. Welcome to Daily in the Word. This program features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. The things we perceive to be true determine the way we respond to the world around us and to the God who lives within us. In our series, 20/20 Vision, we will develop a better understanding of who Jesus is and how He can make a difference in our lives. And now, here's Pastor Paul Chappell with part two of a message called The Priority of Biblical Vision.
Years ago, our family had a vacation in the state of Wyoming, and we were living like cowboys that week. We lived in little cowboy houses, and we wore cowboy boots, and we shot guns and BB guns and rode horses and got infested by ticks. We did everything that cowboys do that week. And a part of what we did that week was to take a little river raft trip down the Shoshone River. And we got onto that raft, and I'll never forget that. Our kids were kind of like this, about this size. And little Matthew, he got into that big raincoat they put on him and a life vest underneath it. And he was just completely dwarfed by that raincoat. And we got into that raft, and I remember fearing in my heart, boy, if we hit a rock or a little bump, Matthew's going to fly out of here. He's just a little guy. And I was kind of scared, and I asked the driver about it, the guide of the raft, and he said, we'll be fine. And you know, as we started down that river, here'd come a big rock, and I'd be so afraid. And yet that guide, he knew exactly how to move that paddle and how to get us around that rock. And here'd be a big old log protruding out in the river, and he knew exactly how to go around that log. And just seemed like he knew that river like the back of his hand. Finally, I said to him, I said, how many times have you been down this river? He said, I've been down this river thousands of times. And he knew exactly when to turn that craft so that we would be safe. And I want you to know that when someone accepts Jesus as their Savior, the Spirit of God comes to dwell within them, and He will guide you away from error and away from destruction, and He will guide you into truth. And just like the river guide who knew exactly where to go, the Spirit of God will guide you into the vision of God if you will listen and be yielded to Him and to the Word of God each and every day. The provision of spiritual vision, it's not good ideas we want. It's God's idea we want. And the Bible says where there is no vision, the people perish. Notice if you would, secondly though, not only the provision of spiritual vision, but the people of spiritual vision. Now, notice this very simple truth. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Let's say that together. Ready, begin. Where there is no vision, the so God doesn't want us to have enlightenment just so we can be at inner peace. I'm at inner peace. That's not His purpose in the sense of just for a selfish reason. God says where there's no vision, the people perish. In other words, He says, I want you to have my biblical understanding so that it will affect people. I don't want it to be something that is kept. I want it to be something that is shared. And so our vision will be something that will affect our response toward other people. Lamentation says, mine eye hath affected mine heart. God says, I want your view of me and my word to affect your heart and the way that you live each and every day. Because without God's vision, people will perish. Let me give you three practical thoughts to that. First of all, without godly vision, families will perish. Without godly vision, families will perish. You see, without biblical principles in the family, families are falling apart across this nation today. We need to have a vision for our family that is a godly vision. We need to have a vision, for example, to honor Christ in the family. The family, the marital relationship in particular, is a picture of Christ and the church. And the Bible says that the family identifies Christ as the head of the home, as the head of the church, the husband following the example of Christ, and the bride of Christ, the church, and the wife following the pattern of the bride of Christ. And when a Christian family disintegrates, then Christ is not glorified. The Bible says in Ephesians 1:12 that we should be to the praise of His glory who first trusted in Christ. Husbands and wives, we ought to say, Lord, I want my family to be to the praise of your glory. I want our marriage to bring honor and glory to Jesus Christ. When we yell and scream and curse and grab our kids by the hair and carry them through Vaughn's screaming and kicking and yelling at one another, we're not bringing praise to you. But when we're at peace and harmony and when we're preferring the other and encouraging one another, then we can bring praise and honor to you. And so we must have a vision to honor Christ. Secondly, we must have a vision to love our spouse. And in particular, I speak here to the husbands. The Bible says in Ephesians 5:25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. A lot of times husbands and sometimes in certain churches can get the wrong attitude about it. We think our job is just to be the big boss man, just to bark the orders around. I heard of a fellow who read a book entitled The Man of the House. Boy, he got to thinking about that. On his commute home, he was thinking about being the man of the house. And he came home to his wife. He said, all right. He said, I want you to get something straight. From now on, I'm going to be the man of the house. And when I come home from my long commute, I want a hot meal. And I want not only a hot meal, but I want a gourmet, sumptuous dessert. And then when I'm done eating, I want you to draw my bath and put soap in it so that I can soak and so that I can relax. And he said, then when I get out of my bath and I'm finished with my bath, guess who's going to help me comb my hair and get ready for bed? And his wife said, the funeral director? And sometimes we get our vision of what we think the Bible says and we superimpose that over on the Bible. Someone says, well, I'm the head of this house. And yes, in one sense, we certainly understand that. But there's a kind of headship that his vision will give you. And it's a loving leadership that God's word speaks of. It's the kind that took Jesus to the cross. And so the Bible gives us a vision for the family. God wants us to honor Christ in our family, to love our spouse. God wants us to have a vision to yield our own will to the others within that family unit, to be willing to lay down what we could demand and by love to serve one another, to try to understand what a woman needs and what a man needs, to try to understand the differences. Someone said that what a woman wants is to be loved and to be listened to be desired, to be respected, to be needed, to be trusted, and sometimes just to be held. And what a man wants is tickets for the World Series. And so just keep that in mind. Just that simple. No, the needs are vastly different. And that's why the Bible says in Ephesians 5:18, be not drunk with wine, where is excess, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Why? Because it is only through the Spirit that we will be sensitive to the needs one of another. And then the Bible says in Ephesians 5:21, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. And this is God's vision, a family that will be yielding to one another and helping one another. And without godly vision, families will perish. And so we must have God's vision for the Christian home. Not Dr. Spock's, not Dr. Laura, but God's vision for the Christian home, you see. And then without godly vision, may I say very quickly, churches will perish. Did you know that all over America today there are church buildings, but what's going on inside of them does not even remotely resemble God's institution, God's founding principles for the church? Did you know that without a godly vision, which I mean again by that, without God's divine revelation, then churches will perish? Now, for example, the Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Listen, Paul says to Timothy, preach the word. A church is to be a place where the word is preached, and the Greek word for preach is keruk, which means a strong declaration of what the Bible says. Listen, we're not here this morning to have a rap session or just kind of discuss what we might think it might mean. No. The Bible says we are to stand up in church and we are to declare, "Thus saith the Lord." And so we must hear from the Word of God. It doesn't say preach your opinion. It doesn't say preach your persuasion. It says preach the Word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. In other words, they don't want to hear about the death, burial, and resurrection. They don't want to hear that Jesus is the Son of God and the only way to heaven. They don't want to hear the doctrine of heaven, the doctrine of hell, the doctrine of creation. No one will want to hear doctrine. So what will happen? Verse 3. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. In other words, they'll say, hey, we don't want to hear those preachers preaching that doctrine. We're sick and tired of these fundamentalists telling us what the Bible says. We want somebody that'll tell us what we want to hear. And the Bible says they will abound in the last days. They will be teachers who will just tickle your ears. They'll say, well, welcome to church, folks, and I'm just so glad you're here. We want everybody to be happy, 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 healthy, healthy, healthy. And if you'll just come today and listen to what I have to say, I'm just telling you, folks, you're a good person. You're such a good person. And your children are such good people. And now you good people, just be sure to put a little money in the offering. Come back next Sunday because you're all going to just be fine. You know what the fact of the matter is? I can tell you you're just fine. And in many ways, I'm sure you are. But if I forget to tell you that there's a God in heaven who sent his Son to die for your sin, and that without him, you do not have the hope of eternal life, I just flat didn't do what I was supposed to do today. You see, it's not just about feeling good. It's about hearing God's word. And so the word of God must be proclaimed. One of our ladies this week was able to help talk to a friend of hers at work. And she's been talking to her for a long time at their lunch hour and just sharing things from the Bible. This lady attends a church that their predominant types of emphasis has been on Earth Day and social causes and AIDS awareness and all these types of things. Some of these things, I suppose, are needed. But in that particular church, she had never heard how the Bible speaks of the death, burial, and resurrection. And one of our church members this week was able to lead her to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And I'm saying, if you have a church that doesn't preach that message, then we're missing the main point. Listen, never put a question mark where God puts a period. And if God says something in the Bible as he reveals his vision that you don't really like, it doesn't really settle well with you, let God be God and you follow God's vision, because the word of God must be proclaimed. And secondly, the word of God must be practiced. We're here, the Bible says in James chapter 2, not to be hearers of the word only, verse 22. We're to be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving our own selves. God says, I want my church to be a place where the implementation of spiritual vision is an act of obedience to God. And we're not here to say, Lord, give me some head knowledge. But we're here to say, Lord, touch my heart. Help me to apply this in my everyday life. And listen, without a vision, families perish. And without a vision, churches perish. And may I say thirdly that without a godly vision, nations perish. The Bible says righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin will bring a reproach. The Bible says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. And I know that you, along with me, are thankful for America today. With all of our troubles and all of our woes, we are a blessed nation still. And I thank God that the founders of this nation had a godly vision for this nation. And by the way, we need to get back to that godly vision. I can think of so many illustrations. I think of James Madison, the architect of the Constitution, who said, we have staked our future on the Ten Commandments. And yet many today are running up and down this land, the ACLU and others, trying to take every Ten Commandments down, every semblance of our origin down. Friend, you can work your entire lifetime, and there are many today in the area of revisionist history trying to rewrite the founding moments of this land, but you're never going to erase the fact that the founders of this land, by and large, had what we might call a Judeo-Christian ethic. They had a heart for God. They had a belief in the principles of the New Testament of the Bible. The writers of the Connecticut Constitution, which later became one of the maps for the United States Constitution, they said, and I quote, "We do therefore associate ourselves as a public state or commonwealth, and do for ourselves and our successors enter into combination and confederation together to maintain and preserve the liberty and purity of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, whom we now profess." Listen, don't tell my children that God had nothing to do with America. Don't tell them that the founders knew nothing of the Lord Jesus Christ. Many of them were God-fearing people. My friend, you visit Washington, D.C. sometime. You look to the dome of the Capitol. You will find everywhere the Word of God. Why? Because this nation began as a nation that was looking to God for our help and the Word of God. And yet, tragically, our nation is forgetting God. Here and there, on a daily basis, we see the evidences of it. We have exploited the poor and called it the lottery. We have killed our unborn and call it a choice. We have shot abortionists and called it justifiable. We have neglected to discipline our children and call it building self-esteem. We have coveted our neighbor's possession and call it ambition. We have polluted the air with profanity and with pornography and called it freedom of expression. We have ridiculed the time-honored values of our forefathers, and we have called it enlightenment. And I'm saying today that without a biblical vision, a nation will perish. Supreme Court Justice Antonin Scalia said, and I quote, "A devout Christian is destined to be regarded as a fool in modern society." You know, it may not be popular to get a godly vision for your life, but it will be right as you follow the Word of God. The people of spiritual vision are all around us. And if we tear off the Ten Commandments and we turn our back to the Lord Jesus Christ, we will continue to see the problems we see throughout our society. Where there is no vision, biblical understanding, people will perish. Notice finally this morning, the perspective of a spiritual vision. The perspective of spiritual vision. You will notice that as you grow in your understanding of the Bible, your perspective of life will significantly change. The way you view certain things will change. May I give you this for example? A perspective for this life will change. And as a Bible-believing Christian, you will be reminded of the fact that this life is temporal. What a basic truth. But you know, this life is very, very temporal. Whether you are one of the most powerful men in the world, or whether you're someone living in poverty, or anywhere in between, the fact of the matter is, listen folks, this life is not forever. The Bible says in James 4:14, "Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, and then vanisheth away." Hey, listen, life is here, and then life is gone. And the fact is that time is the coin of our life, and it is the only coin we have, and we must determine to use this coin for the glory and honor of God. And someone who spends time in the Bible realizes, hey, this life is short, and happiness in this life will only be found as I am in obedience to God and to God's Word. I'm going to ask you something. You think that the hundreds of thousands of people that are in California state penitentiaries today are happy folks? You know, for the most part, they're not. You know why? They have disregarded the law. And I'm going to tell you that a Christian who says, "I'm going to live out my vision for life, I don't want to know what God has to say," they will never know the joy of God. In fact, notice Proverbs 29:18 one more time. What does it say? Proverbs 29:18. The Bible says, "Where there is no vision, the people perish." Watch this. "But he that keepeth the law," what do the next three words say? Happy. Oh, you mean the guy who follows God's vision, who follows God's word? You mean the guy who really believes in teaching his children abstinence and really believes that those children should come together in a unity for life? You mean those kinds of square people might be happy? I think there's more happiness in that than there is in STDs. You mean the guy who follows what the Bible says about turning away from the alcohol when it turns itself right in the cup? You mean he might be happier than the guy who spends all of his days and nights down at the bar? I think the Bible is correct there. I believe that when we follow God's vision and keep God's law, happiness is the result. Psalm 19, verse 9, the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Listen, Dad, you might climb the corporate ladder. You might get all of the retirement benefits and all the gold of this world. But I'm going to tell you something. Don't neglect the teaching of God for the rest of your life. There's nothing wrong with being successful, and if God blesses you in that area, but do not neglect God along the way. Verse 11, moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. The perspective of life that is given to someone through the Word of God is that this life is but a vapor, and we need to honor Him while we're here on this earth. But then secondly, we also have a promise for eternal life. God will give you a perspective. His vision is that life does not end at the grave. There is life after this life. Now, I'm not talking about Mars. I'm talking about every person here is more than flesh and bones. We are living souls that will live on with awareness and understanding and emotion after this life. And that life will take place according to the Word of God for those who know Christ as their Savior in a place called heaven. Why? Because there is hope of heaven in a look to the Savior. John chapter 3, turn there if you have your Bible, verse 14, and we're nearly done. John 3, 14, the Bible says, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, a lot of us have heard those verses before, but let me remind you. Those verses are based on a story back in the book of Numbers, chapter 21. And in Numbers 21, the children of Israel were wandering around the wilderness, and they were trying to find God's promise, but because of their unbelief, they were not entering into the promised land. Many plagues came to them of biblical proportion. Many difficult days came upon even God's people. On one occasion, there were snakes in the desert biting the people. And with their venom, the people cried out in pain and in worry for their life. And so on that moment, the Bible says in Numbers 21 that God said, Moses, I want you to make a serpent of brass. And I want you to lift that serpent up into the air. And whoever will look to that serpent will be saved from the venom. And so he held it up. And as families looked to that serpent, they were saved. And here Jesus Christ says, even as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so the church today must lift up the Lord Jesus Christ. And may I encourage you today to understand that while we hope you like this church and while we hope you enjoy what's going on here, it's not about us, ladies and gentlemen. It's about the fact that the Son of God came down to this sin-sick world and that He lived a perfectly sinless life. And that for 33 and a half years He was tempted in all points like as we are, yet He never sinned. And yet for that perfect life, He went to the old rugged cross, and there His blood was shed. And that blood was shed for the forgiveness and atonement of the sins of the entire world. And Jesus said, even as Moses lifted up the serpent, our responsibility is to lift up the Lord Jesus Christ so that when men and women look to Jesus and they get it finally and they say, He is the Son of God, I believe on Him as my Savior, then the Bible said, whosoever believeth on Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. There's hope when you look to the Savior. That is the vision of God in its clearest form, Jesus, the Son of God. There's hope for all who believe. John 3, 17, for God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, listen, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Listen, friend, how is your vision of this life? How is your vision of eternal life? Do you know in your heart that one day for all of eternity you will be with the Lord Jesus Christ? God says, I've revealed my vision. It's not something fuzzy that you can't see. He says, I've given you my word to be the revelation of my vision for you. I'm giving you my spirit to convict you. And some of you, even at this very moment, know that God is speaking to your heart. God is drawing you to his vision. He doesn't want you living for yourself any longer. He wants you to live for him. My friend, the question is, will you believe?
You've been listening to Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. As a companion to today's series, we are offering a book from Dr. Chappell entitled Sailing with Jesus, Choosing Faith as Your Compass. It's yours when you make a donation to this broadcast ministry. This book will challenge you to discover vital lessons on what it means to live by faith. It will help you develop 20/20 vision for what could happen when you launch out of the harbor of your comfort zone and learn what it means to have Christ on board. Call us at 1-800-68-TODAY or go to dailyintheword.org to request this resource for yourself or a loved one. That's 800-688-6329 or dailyintheword.org. We hope today's message has encouraged you. Dr. Chappell has served as the pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church for nearly 30 years, and he is the author of many books. But most of all, he has a passion and love for you. If you've been helped through Dr. Chappell's ministry, he'd love to hear your story. Visit us on our website today, where you can listen to today's entire message. Connect with us and sign up for Pastor Chappell's Daily in the Word email devotional. Visit us at dailyintheword.org. And thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time as we continue to discover God's answers for today's challenges here on Daily in the Word.